Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416 and there of the third stanza. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving, let him still thy refuge be. And what follows, Psalter 416, the third stanza. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 13. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. As Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall he wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. We hope to remember in prayer Miranda Vandenberg, who remains in the hospital, and Mrs. Evelyn Clock, who was scheduled for a double hip replacement surgery tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy divine providence, and in the way of thy condescending mercy, to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and then each Lord's Day, then we are called to remember that Christ is risen indeed. Wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee for all thy blessings and for all thy mercies in the midst of the trials of life which thou hast showered upon us in the week gone by? Then it is not pleased thee to take one away by the cold hand of death, but then thou wast cared, thou wast spared, thou hast provided, and thou hast protected, and then thou wast granted in this morning hour that the doors of thy house may have been opened, and the opportunity for us and our dear children to enter through those doors. And then thou knowest how that each and every one has come through the doors. Thou know how it has been in the week gone by. It was a week of preparation, wherein this morning hour by renewal, the holy table of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in our midst. And, O Lord, then we humbly ask thee, where it is thy table, it is thy glory, that thou may watch over thy table, and then thou knowest who are thine. Thou knowest those who have been wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit those who have become mourners in Zion, those who have been drawn by the cords of love, but also souls that can have so many questions and so many riddles. Oh, they are souls that have learned and experienced their guilt and a heavenly high debt which they can never pay. And now it has pleased the King of the Church to institute two sacraments for the strengthening of faith concerning the dear Son of God. It is written in thy holy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And concerning that knowledge of thy dear Son, then for the strengthening thereof, but also for instruction, and with a desire for communion, and for a people with a desire for their lives more holy, than on this wilderness journey, for a thirsty and a hungry people, then thou was instituted a sacrament that they may be fed with the broken bread and the poured out wine, needing the work of the Holy Spirit. Then in the realm of nature, then thou causeth the wind to blow, and the bride of old is prayed, O come, O north wind, and blow thou south wind upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learn it is all of grace, it is all a mere to good, it all comes from above. May it then please thee in this morning with the proclamation of the audible and visible gospel, that thou may dwell richly amongst us. Wilt thou remember young and old? O, leave none cold nor untouched, and may it please thee to bring to the table those that have received a wedding garment. May there be souls that may be fed, those thirsty and hungry souls, that they may be fed with the merits of thy dear Son, with that heavenly bread and those everlasting waters. May it please thee to make thy house a Bethel in this morning hour. May thy special favor, thy special presence, and thy special blessing be experienced. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Then we commend unto thee the many temporal needs, the handicapped daughter who remains in the hospital, where the concerns remain, and where at times they only seem to increase. Then by renewal we commend her unto thee. Wilt thou grant unto the physicians what is necessary? But, O Lord, under all the solemn callings, may she be savingly wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, then only shall it be well. Wilt thou continue to uphold the family circle? We commend unto thee a mother and wife who was scheduled for surgery in the day of tomorrow. May it please thee to go with her, to guide the hand of the physicians, and to grant thy blessing. But above all, may this calling be sanctified for the profit of the soul. And so we commend all those that are under the physician's care unto thee. Remember all the mourning ones, and do remember all the elderly ones. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, may our help be in the name of the Lord, who hast made heaven and earth, wilt thou grant thy gracious help with the administration of word and sacrament, and when in this morning hour two tables hope to be administered, may it all be done in order according to thy holy word. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help to that end, and may our eyes be upon thee. And Lord, then by renewal we have to confess that we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but all we have heard out of thy holy word, that there has been a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And now not only the fountain has been opened, but the Spirit also grants that true saving faith to embrace the benefits, the blessings which flow forth out of that fountain. And that is a fountain that can never be emptied, and the riches thereof are declared in the administration of the Lord's Supper. To that end, may it please thee to also bless the reading of the form for the same, where our forefathers have so richly explained the riches thereof. Lord, wilt thou so remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee, my spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. And what follows, Psalter 164, the first three stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Zechariah 13 and there of verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Our text words speak of the open fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Four thoughts. First, the pressing necessity of this fountain. Secondly, the unsearchable riches of this fountain. In the third place, the sweet satisfaction of drinking of this fountain. And then in the fourth place, with the administration of the Lord's Supper, the portrayed source of this fountain. The open fountain for sin and uncleanness. The pressing necessity, the unsearchable riches, the sweet satisfaction, and the portrayed source. Beloved congregation, we read in our text words, in that day. That refers to also the former chapter. And that day refers to a time of a rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we have heard it on Thursday evening. In the context, it refers to the blessings which the Lord shall shower upon his chosen people. In the second place, the New Testament church. In the third place, in the experience of the individual child of God. And in the fourth place, also concerning the latter days. And now concerning the opening of that fountain, then it has a special address. And then we read to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Those terms, that people, has already been mentioned in verse 10 of the first chapter, of the 12th chapter, as we have heard on Thursday evening, that upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that the Lord pours out the Spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Thus that people, that is signified under two expressions, the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The house of David, that was the royal household. And now the Lord has a people that learns that they stand outside of that royal household. The Spirit teaches them how unconverted they are. And then with what a holy jealousy they are filled concerning the true people of God. And therefore in our text, also in verse 10, but also in our text, there is spoken of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Oh, in the context, it refers to the chosen people of Israel, which are a type of the true people of Israel. And then by the work of the Spirit, then they become inhabitants of Jerusalem. We have mentioned it on Thursday evening, that those souls, they are given to enter that city through the gate of regeneration. And then those inhabitants, then they are placed under the banner of King Jesus. Of course, it is two different matters of being placed under that banner or coming to a saving knowledge of whose banner we have come. But it is written in the Scriptures that ye shall know them by their fruits, because those inhabitants, they place themselves under the authority of the laws of the king. And those inhabitants, they become exercised with the glory of that city, with the coming of Christ's kingdom. Oh, those inhabitants, they become soldiers. Do we not read in Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given unto them a banner that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. But now those inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the more communion and more connection they may have with the king. Oh, when we think of the reign of King Solomon, when they were given to see the splendor of his throne and of his glory, then how little and how small that the inhabitants must have felt. And so it is with the child of God, the closer that they may live with heaven's gates, the more communion, the more of that spirit of grace and of supplication. Ah, then those inhabitants, then they are given to mourn those tears, because we read in our text, because that fountain that has a purpose, and then there is a pressing necessity. It is for sin and for uncleanness. Do we not read in 1 John 3, verse 4, that sin is the transgression of the law? Then that word sin comes from a root word that means missing the mark. And now it is the work of the Spirit to make room for that precious fountain. And that is for a people that is vividly and profound, that have learned to weep over their sins. Do we not read in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Ah, those inhabitants of Jerusalem, then they are given to experience each time by renewal what a sinful people they are. And then those inhabitants, ah, then they shall try to rectify. They shall do the best to please the king. But now to experience that they are a sinner still, yea, to experience that they are nothing but sin, no good that is found in that heart. But now in our text, oh, and those, that people that is portrayed in many different ways in the Scriptures, and therefore it says in our text, not only for sin, oh, that people, those inhabitants, they are also exercised with their guilt and with the punishment for king, because the king of that holy city of Jerusalem, then he requires perfect obedience. We have heard the Ten Commandments explained out of the Heidelberg Catechism. Then those inhabitants, they become so sad, so grieved because of their guilt, because of their sin. But then there is another expression used, because we read, for sin and for uncleanness. And in the margins, it speaks of the separation of uncleanness. In the Old Testament, then when there were people that were defiled or uncleaned, they had to be separated from the congregation. Think of the leper. Think of Miriam in Numbers 12, when she has become leprous, that she had to be placed outside of the congregation until that uncleanness was taken away, until a sacrifice was brought. And now for those true inhabitants of Jerusalem, exercised with their sin and with their uncleanness, oh, that separation, because they learn that the Lord can have no communion with sin. Oh, those inhabitants, and it's a blessing when it is so, a close life to the King, and nothing goes deeper than the frown and the displeasure of the King. And now concerning that sin and uncleanness, that is what this fountain, in that day there shall be a fountain opened. And now when we think of a fountain, our boys and girls can understand it. Who does such a fountain now especially become valuable, indispensable for? Think of the wilderness traveler with a scorching sun, and his bottle is becoming empty. Oh, then how he looks, how he thirsts. Does the psalmist not express it in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Oh, that fountain is needful for the traveler, for the labor, for those that are sick, then it becomes indispensable. It is a matter of life and death. But now in our text, a fountain opened. And now that fountain also needs to be revealed. If we think of Hagar in Genesis 21, verse 19, then we read, and when Ishmael lay a dying, and there was a well, but it was hidden for Hagar, then it need to be revealed. That is the experience of the church, that fountain and that well can be so hidden. The true child learns that everything needs to be taught and shown. And then if Hagar and God opened her eyes as she went, so she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Our second thought, the unsearchable riches of this fountain. Ephesians 3, verse 8, we read of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And now our text does not speak of a pool or a pond, because when there is drought, then that pool shall eventually dry up. Our text word does not speak of a well. And a well is a great blessing. But when it becomes very dry, when there is a drought, then many wells also dry up. But our text speaks of a fountain. We think in the great drought of King Ahab, then the order was given, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto the brooks. Thus then our children, a fountain, that is a spring that comes up out of the earth. Then it is true. Can even be under very droughtful conditions that a fountain also becomes less and that it does dry up. But the fountain of our text, that is a fountain that is so full, so rich, and so free, and that with the drinking thereof does not become less. That is an ever-flowing fountain. And in the scriptures, then water that typifies the Trinity and also the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah 2, God is called a cistern of living waters. The Lord Jesus Christ, think of John 4, that Samaritan woman, where Christ has spoken to that woman, if she would drink of those everlasting waters, she would never need to thirst. Then waters, they are typified in the scripture to typify the work of the Holy Spirit until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And then the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted as a forest. And that day there shall be a fountain opened. A great supply, a fountain for all seasons, summer and winter, and then a fountain that is more for public use. All people, of course, could be that a farmer had a fountain, then in a certain sense, was on the farmer's field, but nevertheless a fountain that is not a well that has been dug, as with Abram and Isaac, and sometime there was much striving, then a fountain has not been brought about by the work of man, although man sometimes channels that fountain, but a fountain is more for public use. The unsearchable riches of this fountain. And then in our text words, does not exclude, may never separate the works of the Trinity, but in our text words, then it especially refers, because in that day it refers to the former chapter, and we have heard on Thursday evening that they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and that is the beloved Son of God. Then that fountain that concerns, we have mentioned that piercing, out of John 19, verse 37, when the soldier has pierced the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, therein came out blood and water. Our third thought, the sweet satisfaction of the drinking of this fountain, and that drinking that is an expression of true saving faith, which is a gift which the Spirit grants unto His people. Thus the need for this fountain, that is a deep felt need, and that is a matter of life and death. It's not only a need in the intellect, but that is a need that is sorely experienced in the heart. Because for a wilderness traveler, concerning that fountain or not a fountain, that is a matter of life and death. And what an encouragement, what a joy, and what a happiness to a wilderness traveler when it may be told, when a messenger may come, and that tell that ahead is a fountain with sweet and fresh waters, a fountain that can supply to the uttermost. Then such a soul is given to rejoice exceedingly. Then they are encouraged for their wilderness journey. But now it is necessary our boys can understand it. A thirsty traveler can see waters, and then in his mind can be that he has those waters already. But now it is needful that such a traveler or such a laborer or whoever it may be, for a thirsty traveler, that he may come to that fountain and by true saving faith be enabled to drink of those everlasting waters. And now in our text words, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, that fountain has been opened in the never begun eternity in the council of peace, where Christ has given himself as that mediator, that he was willing to come down upon this earth. Oh, it is portrayed in the broken bread and the poured out wine. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Oh, that fountain has been opened, as it were, in the fullness of time, when Christ has assumed our human nature, when he was born in the stable, laid in the manger. But more so, that fountain has been opened with the suffering and death, when Christ has finished the work in the state of his humiliation, which his Holy Father has given him to do, where he has satisfied justice. And now the Spirit opens that fountain by the first time, and by renewal it is the work of the Spirit for those hungry and thirsty souls to reveal and to bring to that fountain of living waters. And now that fountain, the sweet satisfaction we have mentioned in the first place, there's a matter of life, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, takes place when the Lord begins. But now a further leading, a blessing concerning that fountain, because Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. We do not come to the Lord's Supper to receive a knowledge of the Savior. We do not come to the Lord's Supper to be converted. But a thirsty and a hungry soul comes to the fountain, also to the Lord's Supper, to strengthen what he has already received concerning the saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now that fountain with water gives life. It cleanses from all their filthy sins. As when we read the word sin and uncleanness, then sin especially refers to guilt and uncleanness to pollution. Then such a fountain refreshes, revigorates, grants courage. Then that fountain that grants unspeakable joy. Do we not read in Psalm 36 verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And now the cost, the source of the fountain. That fountain of those everlasting waters. The work of a triune God. And it is a fountain where all the attributes of God are glorified. And it is the fountain whereby the church is saved. And now the source of that fountain that we find in the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The source. Oh, when we think of a fountain, of a stream, read in Ezekiel 47 that the prophet in a vision was given to see a stream of water come from out of the temple, from the side of the altar, 1,000 cubits to the ankles, 1,000 cubits to the knees, 1,000 to the waist, and then 1,000 cubits. And they were waters where there was swimming. Ah, to be taken off of that covenant of works and to swim in the waters of free and sovereign grace. Oh, here it is only in part. John, in Revelation 22, then he has seen a stream that came forth from the throne and from the Lamb. They were pure waters. Trees on either side, fruits for the healing of the nation. Thus the source of that fountain, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit, and of Christ. Before he suffered and he died, after the celebration of the Passover, the lamb that was slain, that was eaten. Oh, the love of Christ to portray for his people what it has cost that fountain. It was the price of blood that he has suffered, that he has died, portrayed in the broken bread and the poured out wine. And therefore Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.